Welcome to the first episode of Bantam with B Mills. I'm your host, B Mills. It's a brand new podcast. We're going to cover a lot of different topics in sports mainly. As far as basketball, I'm a huge basketball fan, so we're going to cover a lot of different topics, mainly debates. We'll do kind of versus different teams of different eras, different, you know, individual players versus each other. Just a little banter, a little conversation, a little debate. You know, also I'm a big pro wrestling fan. We're going to dive into that. You know, kind of debates on which superstars and what eras and what teams are better and what individual superstars are better and what eras. And also, we're going to dive into a little boxing. You know, that's kind of a lost art. Not a lot of people talk about boxing in the mainstream. I'm a huge boxing fan, so we'll dive into that as well. And, you know, we'll also dive into a little football. I'm a huge football fan. So we'll pretty much dive into all those different topics and, you know, kind of just have debates. The first one I wanted to do, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, is the debate of Shaquille O'Neal versus Wilt Chamberlain. Now, Shaq played basically from 1992 to about 2011. So he played 19 years in the league, was one of the most dominant physically, maybe the most physically dominant player ever. Came in the league about 7'1", about 300 pounds in Orlando, ballooned up to about 325 in his prime with the Lakers. And then he got to about 350, 360 at the end of his career. But in his prime, he basically played about 7'1", 325 pounds versus Wilt Chamberlain, who came in the league in 1959. No one had seen anything such physical dominance with him. He went about 7'2", actually. He came in the league about 265, played at about 275, 280, 290. At the end of his career, he was up to maybe about 310, but at his peak, he played about 275, 280. So he's a pretty big guy, not quite 200 pounds, but close to it. He was 7'2", and he was probably the most dominant big man up at that point. So we compare the two from a physical standpoint. Shaq has the girth. He's about 325 at his peak. Wilt Chamberlain is about 280 at his peak. So Shaq has about 45 pounds. Height-wise, Chamberlain is actually taller. Shaq went about 7'1". Chamberlain went about 7'2". So Chamberlain actually had an inch on him. Athleticism, Shaq was a monster, but Chamberlain was known for his high jumping, track and field. I mean, he was overall a great athlete. I mean, his vertical, his strength, you know, he's into weight training in the 50s and 60s, which was unheard of at that time completely. Shaq, you know, he kind of was in the gym, but he wasn't nearly as, you know, dominant as and worked at weight training as Wilt Chamberlain did. I mean, Chamberlain legitimately worked out and was, worked out in the gym pretty hard, as opposed to Shaq, who basically, you know, worked out in, you know, wasn't as committed physically to working out. That was one of the downfalls with him. And Kobe got into it. Kobe was a gym rat. Shaq wasn't. Shaq kind of used the off season to kind of chill out, relax. And he kind of practiced hard during the season. And even during the season, he preferred not to practice that hard. Because when he went to Miami, that's why I was complaining about Pat Riley with his long practice. Phil Jackson kind of took it easy on Shaq because that Shaq was his meal ticket. But if we compare the two guys head to head, so Wilt was slightly taller. Shaq was slightly bigger. You look at their careers. Wilt played 14 years in the league. Shaq played 19 years. Shaq was a 15-time All-Star. Wilt Chamberlain was a 13-time All-Star. So Chamberlain made it 13 out of 14 years. Shaq made it 15 out of 19. So Shaq had a little bit more years to him. And he kind of bounced around towards the end. I mean, Chamberlain only played, when he came in the league, he played for the Philadelphia Warriors and the San Francisco Warriors and the Philadelphia 76ers. Then the Los Angeles Lakers. So he really only played for three teams in his career. Shaq played for, of course, Orlando when he first came in. Then he went to the Lakers where the bulk of his career was there. Then he went to Miami. Then he went to Cleveland. You know, then he went to Phoenix. And it's no particular order. He planned up, wound up playing in Boston. So he kind of became a nomad at the end of his career. But, I mean, if you look at the two, everyone says Shaq was the most physically dominant. But if you look at it, Wilt Chamberlain was both dominant over guys in his era. I mean, you had guys like Bill Russell went about 6'10", 240. You had guys like Walt Bellamy was 6'11", about 275. You had guys like William and Lear, who played a little bit later in Wilt's career. He's 6'11", 270, 280. You had a guy like Willis Reed went 6'10", about 240. Russell went 6'10", about 240 as well. You had a guy like Nate Thurman, who went about 6'11", maybe 245, 250. So these guys weren't quite 7-footers, but they're 6'10", 6'11", legit. And back then, the NBA measured guys barefoot. So when they say Will Chamberlain was 7'1", he was 7'1 1/6". That was barefoot. So when you put on a sneaker, that puts him at 7'2", or even 7'3". Sneakers give you about an inch or inch and a half of height. So it's funny because the guys now, they measure them with, you know, with the shoes on. So Shaq, without shoes, is 7 foot even. With shoes on, he's 7'1". Well, Chamberlain, without shoes on, was 7'1". Put him on shoes, he's 7'2", 7'2½". So, but, I mean, you look at the era. Wilt Chamberlain, we'll start with Wilt. He was singularly the most dominant player ever seen coming to the league. I mean, he came in, won Rookie of the Year and League MVP in the same year. Not too many guys, if any guys, I think, can even say that. Even Jordan can say that, as great as he was. So he averaged... His best scoring season was 50 points per game, and he had three other 40-point per game per seasons where he averaged 40-plus per season. He averaged 22 points for his career. His career averages were 30 points, 22 rebounds, about 4 assists. We don't know how blocks, the blocks weren't really counted, but for all accounts, he probably averaged realistically 5 or 6 blocks a game. Everybody said Russell was the best shot blocker. Possibly, I give Russell probably the edge. He probably averaged maybe 7 block shots for his career, possibly. But Wilt, I give Wilt about 4 or 5 blocks per game, probably 5 blocks. And then I'd say Russell probably averaged about 7 blocks a game. But, I mean, he was a beast offensively. Nobody could stop him. I mean, and then defensively, nobody gives him credit. But like I said, he probably realistically averaged about 5 blocks a game for his career. In the league, I mean, it just wasn't counted. They didn't really count blocks officially at that time. But offensively and defensively, he was just so physically superior, and he was physically strong. He wasn't just girth and mass like Shaq, but he was physically strong. And he dominated the league for a very long time. The biggest difference was that he didn't win as much. You look at the championships, Shaq averaged... He won 4 championships, and he went to 6 finals altogether. So he won 4, lost 2. Wilt Chamberlain, on the other hand, he only won 2, but the 2 teams that he were on were some of the most dominant teams, the 67 Sixers and the 72 Lakers are all considered top 10, top 20 teams of all time. But he did lose 4 times in the finals, including twice to the New York Knicks in 1970 and 1973. He lost to the Boston Celtics in 69, and I can't quite remember the other time he lost, but he lost 4 times altogether. So he was 2-4 in the finals. Shaq was 4-2 in the finals. He lost, of course, when he went to Orlando, got swept by Houston in 1995, and then again he lost again 2004 with the Dream Team, him, Kobe, Karl Malone, and Gary Payton. So he's 4-2. Wilt Chamberlain is 2-4. And then if you look at the other statistics, league MVP, Shaq, for all his greatness, only won 1. Wilt Chamberlain actually won 4 MVPs, including, of course, the year he won Rookie of the Year and league MVP in the same year. Shaq also did win Rookie of the Year in 1992, so they have that in common. But if you look at the MVP awards, Wilt has 4, Shaq only has 1. Finals MVPs, of course, Shaq has 3, but of course, when Wilt played, they didn't count that as finals MVP. Not saying he would have won either one of those years he won, but I don't know. But they didn't count finals MVPs when Wilt was still playing. And then if you look at straight attributes, those are just the statistics of their careers. But if you look at their style, and just from the tapes that I've seen of Wilt Chamberlain, because, of course, I wasn't around when he played. I mean, he played 2 decades before I was born. But if you look at the two compared, I mean, Wilt definitely, to me, looked like he had more endurance. Shaq definitely had a slightly more girth. So he did have Wilt by about 50 pounds. I mean, Wilt probably played at 275, 280 in his career. Shaq had him about 40, 45 pounds. But if you look at the two, Wilt was slightly taller. Shaq was slightly heavier. But if you look at in their peak, Wilt Chamberlain probably had the endurance edge. And if you look defensively, Shaq was a good defender, a good shot blocker. Wasn't a great shot blocker like Mutombo or Lon Moore, Hakeem Olajuwon, or Bill Russell. He was a good defender, not a great. He came in the league. He was pretty good when he first came in, and he started kind of slacking off in his prime. He wasn't that intimidating shot blocker like he was in Orlando. He said like his idols were, you know, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, guys that were known for blocking shots. But as he got older, he really kind of relaxed on that defensive end. So, I mean, it really started to show. His shot block per game went down. I think he wound up, he said, 7th all-time which is still pretty good overall, but you gotta realize he did play 19 years in the league. So if you look at offensively, in Shaq's best year, he averaged 29 points for his career, was the highest he averaged. For his career, he averaged 23 for his career, but 29 was his highest. Well, Chamberlain averaged 30 for his career, and his highest was 50. And, of course, he had the 100-point game. The highest rebounds per game he had was 25 rebounds per game. Shaq, the highest rebound per game I think he had was 13, maybe 14 rebounds a game, something like that. Wilt averaged, you know, his best season, he averaged basically 10 rebounds more than Shaq, 11 rebounds more than Shaq. In his best scoring season, he averaged 21 more points, 29 compared to 50. And then, of course, if you look at the overall, you know, assists, it's about the same. Wilt averaged about 4.5, Shaq averaged a little bit under 3, so he always had the advantage there. And of course, he did lead the league in assists 1 year. We averaged 8.6 assists per game. But, I mean, statistically, they match up pretty well. Wilt does have the edge in scoring, does have the edge in rebounding. It was just a different time. He was so dominant. And the thing about it, Shaq did, I would agree, did play in a better era as far as centers. And he played in 92 when he came in. Elijah Moore was a fellow rookie, Hall of Famer. Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon, they were still in their prime. Dave Robinson was in his prime. Those three guys alone were, you know, all stars. You had a guy like Mutombo came in a year prior. He was a Hall of Fame, you know, another Hall of Fame center. You know, so he played, I'd say Shaq really did play in the golden era of centers. Because Wilt Chamberlain, as great as he was, you did have Willis Reed, you did have Nate Thurman, you did have Bill Russell. But outside of those three guys, you know, Kareem came in 10 years later in 1969. So he played towards the end of his career. But in Shaq's prime, he had to go with Patrick Ewing in his prime. He had to go with Olajuwon in his prime. He had to go against Dave Robinson in his prime. You know, Lonzo Mourning, Timo Mutombo, his contemporaries there. You know, the good guys, Brad Daly was pretty good. Rick Smith was pretty good. You know, neither one of those guys are Hall of Famers, but they put up pretty good numbers. And, of course, you had guys with Wilt playing, Walt Bellamy, who's a Hall of Famer. You also had to play Zio Beede. I saw a documentary where he was one of the great centers of that time. So it's pretty equal, but I give Shaq the slight edge because, I mean, you would take David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Kemba Mutombo, and Lonzo Mourning over Nate Thurman, Willis Reed, Bill Russell. I mean, he would slightly take him over those, and Walt Bellamy. It's close. It's real close. I mean, it's really, they both played against great Hall of Fame centers. So basically, four Hall of Fame centers on both sides. But, I mean, overall, I would give Shaq a slight edge against the competition he played against in center. But then if you look overall, just dominance, I mean, as great as Shaq was, his downfall, he only won one league MVP. And he always complained about the second week he didn't win against Steve Nash that year. But really, if anybody should have won the league MVP that year, it should have been Kobe Bryant. And ironically, Kobe put up numbers so great, but they were first-round exit to the Phoenix team when they were in a nice little run with Nash and Stoudemire and those guys. But when you think about it, a guy like Russell Westbrook won MVP last year, and he had a first-round exit. They went out, and I think if you look at their record, their both records were 47-35 the year Kobe went and lost in the first round, and I think Russell Westbrook's 47-35. The difference was he did average a triple-double, but they both wound up losing the first round, and so it's so funny that guys like Russell Westbrook get it now, but then back then Kobe didn't get it because the team didn't win enough, but he won exactly the same amount of games, and they're pretty close to the same seed. I think Kobe might have been the 7th seed that year. Phoenix might have been a 2nd seed. Westbrook was a 6th seed. He lost against the 3rd seed. So it's very ironic that, you know, nowadays a lot of guys get the war putting up great numbers. But when Kobe played, it wasn't there. He should have won MVP that year, no question, and he won it a couple years later in 2009. But that being said, Shaq only won one league MVP, won 3 finals MVP, won one league MVP. Wilt Chamberlain won 4 league MVPs. Neither one won defensive player of the year. They both won rookie of the year. But if you look at this, you know, we look at it head to head, Shaq's dominance was very good. People say, okay, his best, you know, prime was the 3 years, 2000, 2001, 2002. No, Shaq was pretty much dominant. His first year he came in the league, he averaged 23 points and 12 boards his first year in the league. Wilt averaged 30 and 22 his first year in the league. So, He had a little better rookie season, but if you compare the two, Shaq was dominant from 1992 when he walked in the league, probably realistically up until 2006, I would say, when he's with Miami and he won a championship. He kind of dipped off into like high teens, 18, 19 points. But you give Shaq from 1992 to 2006, so 14 years, he was pretty dominant. 15 years is pretty dominant. Wilt Chamberlain, on the other hand, his dominant streak was from 59 to about 66. Although they won a championship at 67, and they also won a championship at 72, he averaged 24 points, 24 rebounds in 1967, which if a guy is that now, he'd be, you know, he'd get a max contract. But, I mean, you have to say his peak really was from 1959 probably to about 1969. And in 70, 71, 72, the last 4 years, he was still doing great, averaging 20-plus rebounds, but he was starting to get lower as far as points per game. He was averaging 17, 18 points per game, so those last 4 years. So his dominance for his career was probably 10 out of 14 years. Shaq was probably, you know, he probably dominated 14 out of 19 years. So it's about the same ratio. Both of them kind of their last 3-4 years, they kind of fell off the map, you know, fell off a little bit and weren't quite the dominant players they once were. But at their peak, I mean, Wilt Chamberlain, was the numbers he's putting up were astronomical. He has the highest 4 scoring points per game and rebounding 2 or 3 top rebounding seasons of all time. I mean, the top 4 scoring, 50 points, 44, 44, 43. I mean, he has the top 4 of all time. Shaq, you can't really say that. He wasn't a league leader in rebounding ever. He wasn't a league leader. You think he was league leader in scoring? I remember in 2000, but I think David Robinson won it that year in 2000, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, he never led the league in scoring. He never led the league in rebound, never led the league in shot box. But he was overall just a physical dominance, physical presence, because his height and his weight and everything was just too hard for guys to contain. But if I have to say, comparing the two, I mean, Wilt Chamberlain just had more endurance, more weight training, more athleticism. You know, he just was a better overall player than Shaq. As great as Shaq was, it was dominant. But you can't say he's most dominant because Wilt Chamberlain's numbers he put up were astronomical. I don't think I've ever seen anybody put up those type numbers. Closest in scoring, Kobe, he came with 81 points, and he did everything he can to get those 81, and he was still 19 points away from Wilt Chamberlain. It wasn't even close. It wasn't like it was 91 where he's close. I mean, he's still 19 points away from that record. So, you know, in my top 10, I have Wilt Chamberlain ranked number 5, and I have Shaq ranked number 8 in my top 5. My top 5, and this will be controversial, but I'm going to tell you guys anyway, this is where I have them. As far as centers, if I go by top 5 centers, I have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the top ranked center of all time. I have Wilt Chamberlain is number 2, Shaq is number 3, Bill Russell's number 4, and Hakeem Olajuwon's number 5. So my top rated centers of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is number 1, Wilt Chamberlain is number 2, Shaq is number 3, Bill Russell's number 4, and Hakeem Olajuwon's number 5. Now, Shaq and Wilt are 2 and 3 on my list, but on my top 10 list of all time, I have Michael Jordan number 1, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar number 2, Magic Johnson number 3, Larry Bird number 4, Wilt Chamberlain number 5, Tim Duncan, number 6, Kobe Bryant, number 7, Shaquille O'Neal, number 8, LeBron James, number 9, and Wilt Chamberlain, and Bill Russell, number 10. So, as far as centers, I have them 2 and 3, respectively. As far as overall, I have Wilt Chamberlain ranked at number 5, and I have Shaq ranked at number 8. So, they're pretty close, but if I have to compare the two, you know, and I'm a guy that grew up in the Shaq era. I mean, when Shaq came in the league, I was 13 years old. So, I was in the Shaq era, no question. But if I got to be honest with myself, if you look at Wilt Chamberlain compared to Shaq, I mean, Wilt Chamberlain is much more just dominant. He just, the numbers he put up are astronomical. They have not been touched yet. They have not been reached yet. I don't think they ever will be. I don't think anybody will be able to score 100 points in a game. And overall, I think that we got to say the verses here. I'd say Wilt Chamberlain was a more dominant player than Shaq. And so if we have to say the most dominant player in NBA history, I'd have to say Wilt Chamberlain, not Shaquille O'Neal. Thanks for listening to the episode of Banter in the Basement. It's my first one out the gate, so just bear with me. It'll get better, guys. But just let me know, comment what you think, leave a comment, like and subscribe if you like. So we can build this channel and we can have some more interesting debates and ideas. You think different things I could debate. We just have to like have a little fun and just banter things and just conversation and debates on different topics in sports. So catch you guys next episode.